Thank you for that. I appreciate that. I don't know about you guys, but last Sunday I was really blessed with Craig's word.
Yes.
Really spoke to me. I had to go away. Typical Craig's word. You've got to go away and digest it and think about it and chew it over. And I just want to follow on from there. He spoke on the aggressive manner of Christ. You weren't there last week. That's what he spoke on. And I want to carry on speaking about the aggressive manner of Christ. So could you, Julie, lock those doors there, please? we go on. Craig spoke about how Jesus entered the house, entered the temple, and was angry. He was angry. Now, when we think of Jesus, loving Jesus and, you know, meek and mild and all that, no. He was angry. Wow. And I'm going to go on about Jesus because Jesus is the central of our lives, I hope. You know, we can veer off on quite a lot of things in the Christian kingdom. You know, the Israel Christian, the baptism Christian, you know, the all manner is different questions that we can talk about and go after. But our central piece must be Jesus. He's the most amazing example that we can follow. He came as a servant. He didn't come to lord that over us. But boy, did he know what he was doing. And he also knows what he's doing now in our lives. So I'll be confident in following Jesus. He entered the he entered the temple, and it was filled with traders buying and selling, probably at extortionate prices, because that's what they are. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the sellers of doves. Money changers, I always smile when I read that in the scripture, because, you know, some of you know I spent a lot of time out in Romania, and especially just after the revolution, when I went out there, and I started off with a big, they call that, for some reason, they call their Baptist churches number one Baptist church, number two Baptist church, and so on and so on. I never found out the reason why, but anyway. But I was there the first day at the Baptist church, the number one Baptist church in Zalu, which is about 300 people, a congregation, 300 to 400 people. And I was informed halfway through the service that if I wanted to change money, they had some excellent money changers in the church. Now, this is, these are the people that are devoted Christians. If you smoke, they think you might be going to hell, like, you know, something like that. But they are money changers in the church. And I thought this was a bit strange. So afterwards, I went to speak to somebody actually in the leadership team there that could speak English. And he said, oh, it's okay. He said, we don't do it in the church. We do it outside. So, and by the way, you'll get a good rate. So anyway, I left it there. I thought, no, I'm not going to get into that one. But they had money lenders there. And so he said, but Jesus was very angry with what was going on. And he said, this is my house, and it will be called a house of prayer. But you are making it a den of robbers. It's interesting. I want to pick that bit up first before I really go on to talk about the whole being of Jesus, the whole vision of Jesus. But, you know, let's be guarded about ourselves, about the house of God, the house of prayer. Where's that with us? That's here in James Street. So I just want to remind us, myself as well, how we conduct ourselves in this house of prayer. You know, what do we bring into it? Do we bring gossip into it? Do we bring politics into it? Do we bring any substances that we shouldn't be doing into it? This is a house of prayer. This is Jesus' place.
Yeah.
And listen, he gets angry. I just wanted to put that out at the very beginning of this time because, you know, it does worry me at times. I've had experience in the church that I was in before, and I had two certain ladies, and I'm looking at Lucille because she knows who I'm talking about. Two certain ladies used to come into the church and the service, and they were sometimes very worse for wear. And I kind of looked at them a couple of times and I thought, Lord, what am I going to do? So eventually I went and talked to them, and they were very repentant, and they said, yeah, it won't happen again. And a couple of weeks went by and it was okay, but after that, there they were again. And I thought, oh. And in the end, I talked to them again, and they said, yeah, and it happened again. And in the end, somebody said to me, that's very close to me, you've got to put a stop to this. You know, you've got to tell them that they can't come here. And so I went to see them, and I had to say, like, you know, please don't come to this house of prayer until you got through what you've got to go get through. And do you think I liked doing that? I didn't. It broke my heart. But it's got to be done at times. And, you know, sometimes we put other people in a position of pain and awkwardness, and because they've got to carry out different things. And we don't have to put those people into that position. It's up to us, each one of us. And that's the one first point I want to put over. This place is a place of prayer, God's place. Let's respect it as that. And let's leave whatever else outside the door. Let's come in with clean hands and clean heart. Now I want to talk about Jesus. And I want you all to shut your eyes. I'll be watching you. I said all of you to shut your eyes. Come on, shut your eyes. Now I want you to imagine Jesus. Okay, you can open them again now. Can you tell me what you imagined? Go on, Mary.
Jesus on the cross.
Okay, Jesus on the cross. Anybody else image of Jesus?
Jesus
healing.
Jesus just walking along the road like being his friend, his disciple.
Jesus just walking along the road being a friend. Yep.
I saw him with his arms outstretched.
Arms outstretched. Mm-hmm. Julie?
With eyes of love and compassion.
Mm-hmm. John? The men are coming in now.
Faith, look there.
Pardon?
Faith, look there.
Yeah. Right.
Jesus with the children.
Jesus with the children. Yeah. They are all nice and comfortable images, aren't they? If you think about it. Jesus healing, Jesus with the children. Even Jesus at the cross, because that was a... But all these pictures of Jesus that we have in our mind when we close our eyes and that, is of history, you know, of the past. What do you think he looks like now? And that thought hit me like a thunderbolt. And we don't know. I said, you know, to the Lord, I said, I really don't know what you look like now. Are you different to what you were before? And I thought, we've got no record of that. But we have. I want to share you about it this morning. So, where can we find this record? The book of Revelation. So I'd like you to turn to Revelations in your Bible. It's the last book in your Bible. Oh, you know, already know that. And I want to, if you haven't got a Bible, if you can scramble around and get a Bible, I think... I think we've got a few left. They keep disappearing, these Bibles, and I don't know whether to praise God about it or what. It's a bit of a mystery. So if you've been taking Bibles home, please bring them back. Thank you. It's so amazing that we have this Jesus, our Lord. And in Revelations 1, here's the record of what he looks like. Anybody read the book The Shack?
Yes.
You know, that was a beautiful, that was wonderful. Gave me a new vision of Jesus. And maybe he comes in many forms, I don't know. But in Revelations 1, verse 12, I'll read you it first, and then we can go through what Jesus looks like. Now, this is a revelation from John. He came in spirit. It thrills me, this does. He came in spirit to talk to John. And John saw him. And this is John the disciple, John. And I'll talk about that later on. It says here in verse 12, I turned round to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in the furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive and forever and ever. And I hold the keys to death and Hades. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So let's have a look into this. This Jesus, who is he? What a magnificent person. Look at him now. Okay, I can't deal with all of it because I don't know all of it. But I've been praying about it, and there's been revelations. I've been looking up things. Been having a real wild old time the last week or so. I really have. You know, we're talking about being in the Spirit. It's been a wonderful time of that. I thank Craig for what he said. It spurred me on to this. Inspired. And first of all, he talked about the seven churches of Asia. Yeah. And he had these churches dear to his heart, dear to his soul. And like those churches, he still has these Christian churches dear to his heart and dear to his soul, holding on to them, engaged in warfare and in prayer. It's still a battle. And that's including the Church of James Street. He holds that dear to him. And he's placed us in this amazing estate.
Yeah.
And there's warfare going on, beloved. It's not just a peaceful place. Let's be aware of this. Let's be soaking this place in prayer. Not just a faith clinic or prayer night or that time. You know, in the mornings when you wake, in the evenings when you have a quiet time, let's remember James Street and what's going on here. And then in verse 13 it says, this man, like the Son of Man, is Jesus himself. The title of Son of Man always puzzled me in ways. It occurs many times in the New Testament in this reference to Jesus, the Messiah, the King of Kings. You know, John had been with Jesus for 3 years. Now, this is the author of the Revelation, the book of Revelation. And I was thinking about that, and the authority that he could bring this vision of Jesus was second to none. He was the he was both had been with Jesus when he was a preacher in Galilee, started off with Jesus, and then he was actually with Jesus up at the mountain, was it Hebog, wasn't it, something like that, Mount Hebog, in the Transfiguration. He saw, you know, him with Moses and Isaiah, and the vision of God, and his face was shining on that mountain, and John was with him. So we can believe this wholeheartedly. This was not somebody on drugs or anything. This was John, the follower of Jesus. And he was talking about how Jesus came by Spirit and visited him. And this is what Jesus looks like. Jesus appears as a mighty Son of Man. It says, his white hair, he had white hair, which indicates in all times, white hair, notice this, indicates his wisdom and divine nature. It says in Daniel 7, it says in Daniel 7, his clothing was white as snow, his hair was white like wool, and his throne was flaming with fire. Daniel 7, that is. That makes good reading, that does too. If you want to read a nice cozy chapter by the fireside, read Daniel 7. Whoo! It's great. It just shows you the image of Jesus. Okay, so that's part of what he looks like. And the gold sash around his chest reveals him as a high priest who goes, listen to this, who goes into God's presence to obtain forgiveness of sins for those who have believed in him. That's us. So there's a note of warning. I don't think there's anybody here this morning that really hasn't made a commitment to God. But let's remember this of Revelations, that Jesus, how Jesus came, that he came to forgive us, to come before us. He's fighting our corner for us. And if you're talking to people that are unsaved, just casually mention to them that you've got somebody that's fighting for your corner. And they haven't. I've talked to people before like this. Not in a religious way. But I say to them, I do a Dennis Bundy on them. I say, you know, dead casually, you know, this man Jesus, he's for us. You know, you haven't got him, mate. But you can do. You know, we don't have to get, you know, religious and put on our purple smock and things. We can just have a good old chat to people. But it's a serious thing. It's a serious thing. Because they're dying a death and we're living forever. I just don't understand why people don't want to listen. It's such good news. I really do. So he's fighting for a corner, and you know, I'm so glad They've got a God full of love and compassion. Wonderful God. And the sword in Jesus' mouth symbolizes the power and force of his message. His words of judgment are as sharp as swords. Isaiah 49:2, it speaks of that. And in Hebrews 4:12, which I like to read, it says that also. And in 4:12 it says, "For the word of God is living and active." That's encouraging, isn't it? Because whenever we speak about the Lord, it becomes active to people. You know, we might think that they're ignoring us, that they don't care, they don't want to. But I tell you, they will go away and they will start thinking about it. They will start asking themselves, was that guy straight up? Was he a bit cuckoo? What was he saying? You know, you've done your bit. You've spoken to them. You know, it's up to the Lord and that person. So, for the word of God is a living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all the creation is hidden from God's sight. Ooh. And when I read that, I thought, oh. But he's a forgiving God, and he's a God of mercy.
Yes.
He just wants us to bring in a further relationship with him.
Yes.
Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him of whom we must give an account. These are not really, that's why I said lock the doors. You know, because these are challenging words this morning. So I'd like you to really think about that and think about what Jesus is. He's not a softie. He's got eyes that work on fire and full of wisdom. And I've written there, Jesus appeared in glory and splendor to John on the island of Patmos. John was exiled there and because he wouldn't agree to stop preaching the word of God. It's an island off the coast of Asia, and there was great persecution taking place. I've lost my place. Under the Roman Empire, Domitian. And like then, God will never leave us. We have access to God's strength to face all trials. So if you're facing difficult problems, remember the same power available to John at that time and the early church is also available to us. So when you go out next, prayer walking, speaking to your neighbour, talking to your workmate, you have the same power as at the beginning of the day. Our sins have convicted and sentenced us, but Jesus holds the keys to death and Hades and hell. He alone can be free from eternal bondage to Satan. He, Jesus, alone has power. You know, we get a load of counterfeits, a load of forgers that will come to us, false prophets, false religions. I had some Jehovah Witnesses knock on my door the other day and talking, and they were talking about the Lord's Prayer. I said, well, who actually gave us the Lord's Prayer? They wouldn't answer me. They want to deny Jesus. The key thing to anything that is false is that they deny Jesus. Like I started off this morning, Jesus is our central point. And it must be. Our eyes must be firmly on Jesus and all of what he's got for us. And he is an amazing warrior. He's a fantastic Lord. And he's with us. I'm so glad I'm on the side of Jesus. All we must do in all this is to turn from sin and turn to Him in faith. When we attempt to control our lives and disregard God, we set a course that leads directly to hell. But when we place our lives in Christ's hand, He restores us now and resurrects us later to an eternal relationship with Him. We've got a great future in front of us. And for me, getting an old git, I've still got that great future in front of me. I'm looking forward to eternity. It's wonderful. So, with this in mind, with Jesus Christ and how He's powerful, I want us to pray this morning. I want us to pray about different things. I want us to pray together. In mind of how powerful Jesus is, let's pray in faith in this. And I'll ask the Lord, what do we need to pray about this morning? And He gave me three things to pray about. One is a fresh baptism in the Holy Spirit. And maybe some of you haven't even had that prayer. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I remember going up my first time and getting prayed for in the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And never being the same since. And whenever I get a chance to get prayed in the with the baptism in the Spirit, I do. You don't have to just do it and that's finished. If you feel that you need a refreshing prayer in that, great. This morning's the day time. Secondly, the Lord showed me, I felt that people have been sick and they're still sick. Just come in faith this morning for you that are sick. And the other thing that the Lord gave me was forgiveness. There's at least one of you here this morning, or some of you are here, that you've got a long line of unforgiveness where you can't seem to get through that. And this could be the morning of breaking that. We've got it, like I said, we've got this powerful Jesus with us. He's not a soft, gentle person. You know, he's a Lord of grace, but that's something else. He's our warrior. He's our saviour. So let's come in faith this morning. Let's come in faith and let's have a time at prayer. Now, if you feel that you want to sit there, but you need prayer, talk to somebody near you and they'll pray with you. Where's my musician? Yeah. Come on, John. You should be called David, you know that, don't you? Have a heart. If you'd like to come up and something that you feel that needs prayer, I'll be pleased to pray for you. And see, she's got no worries whatsoever. She wants some of this. And if you feel like you've spoken to you this morning.